Hour number three on the program tonight, Brett Hollander and the Missile, Kadri Ismail, here on a Tag Team Thursday on Sportsline on your 50,000-watt home for Baltimore Ravens football, WBAL and WBAL.com. We'll get the Patriots side of things now with Shalice Manza-Young from the Boston Globe. Shalice, thank you so much for joining us.
Hey, how are you doing?
Doing all right. So let's get right into it. Take us through what the Patriot fan base, the greater New England fan base, is thinking right now heading into this game. What's the tone there?
You know, it's interesting because a week ago they were nervous with Tim Tebow coming here and, you know, Tebow mania and all of that stuff. And as soon as the Ravens won on Sunday, it seemed like they thought it was going to be easy. And it won't be. You know, I think people are cautiously optimistic. There is a certain segment of the fan base, like I said, that thinks this is going to be an easier game than when they played the Broncos. But I think the majority of people are cautiously optimistic. I think they're really excited for Sunday, and they expect a good game. But, of course, they expect the Patriots to come out on top.
When you look at the Patriots, certainly their team has had its issues defensively. Do you feel that this defense finally has hit its stride? I know they've gotten some players back healthy this week.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting in the talk all the time about team defense, but it seems like getting two guys back has made a big difference for the Patriots. Brandon Spikes, who's a great run stuffer in the middle for them when he's on the field. He's had a lot of issues staying on the field his first two seasons. And Patrick Chung, who is by far their best safety. They've been going with a mixture of James Ahedebo and Matthew Slater and Nate Jones and all kinds of guys at safety. But with Chung back, he's a big hitter. He can play up on the line of scrimmage if they need to. And Spikes, you know, he's just a tremendous run stuffer, really just goes downhill and can get guys in that run game.
Shalice, obviously the Patriots are red hot. They've won a lot of games in a row and by a large margin of victory in most of those games. But the blueprint, is there one? From at Pittsburgh and the home loss against the Giants, and also include the loss at Buffalo, although that was so early in the season, it's hard to even count that one. But is there a blueprint for how those teams went about beating the Patriots?
Yeah, I think the blueprint, and it's one that has been around for a little while, you know, if you think to the Jets game in the playoffs last year, it's usually to get to Brady. Now, of course, you have to be able to cover Aaron Hernandez and Rob Gronkowski. They're two great tight ends. Take away as many of those weapons as you can, but also just if you can get to Brady, he's not unlike many quarterbacks, but he doesn't do well if he knows that he's about to be hit, if he knows that guys are coming for him. The Baltimore Ravens would seem to be the team that could accomplish that with Suggs and Haloti Ngata and the guys that they have who could attack the Patriots, and especially if the Patriots get down early. You know, we've seen that the last couple of weeks of the regular season. The Patriots put themselves in some pretty sizable holes, and to me, if you do that against the Ravens, if you tell Terrell Suggs, just go get Tom Brady, it's probably not going to work out that well for the Patriots. But, you know, they've done very well offensively, and again, it's just there's so many guys that you have to account for offensively that Brady can go to. If it's not Wes Welker, then, you know, Deion Branch had a 60-yard touchdown. I thought those days were long gone. But he had a 60-yard touchdown last week. And, again, with the two tight ends, there's just a lot of guys that you have to account for with this offense.
You say there's a lot of guys to account for, but who is his go-to guy? I mean, it used to seem like it was always Wes, but has the ship or the torch passed, if you will, over to Gronkowski?
You know, Brady will say all the time that he just throws the ball to whoever's open. I think it depends on the matchups that they're getting. And it's not as much Wes anymore, but it certainly is Wes more than enough. He you know, he still led the league in receptions this year. But, you know, Gronkowski, if the matchup's there, and Gronkowski can just bowl people over. You know, you remember you guys are there in Baltimore. I don't know if you saw the game against the Redskins, but, you know, there was this one play where, you know, he fell down and he got up and he dragged two guys a couple yards with him and he stiff-armed another guy. And he's just such a force out there. And then Hernandez added another wrinkle to his repertoire last weekend where he just was handed the ball out of the backfield as a running back. We've seen him line up as a fullback before and catch passes out of the backfield, but this time, you know, he was just a running back. So it's really interesting the things that they can do.
Shalice Manza-Young from the Boston Globe with us here on WBAL. People have such a short memory these days. They forget the Patriots were 14-2 last year. And is this team better than that team even?
You know, the defense was so bad for so long this season that it's hard for me to say yes to that. I definitely think they're better, and I think things have just broken in their favor. You know, Denver was by far the worst team to make the playoffs this year. So for them to get here, to come here last week, that certainly worked in their favor. They figured things out, how to defend Tim Tebow. You know, Pittsburgh was knocked out of the playoffs by Denver, so that was a team that obviously had beaten them earlier in the year. I think things have sort of broken in their favor that make the path to the Super Bowl potentially, you know, more favorable for them this year than it was last year. But I don't know that I can say that this is – I think offensively it's better, but I don't think so defensively.
What about Bill Belichick and just his mindset going into this game? Do you get a sense? Obviously, you're sitting there as a a beat writer, and you're like, okay, Bill is not giving us much. But are you able to read through the Bill Belichickisms and get a sense of what he's thinking and his thoughts?
He has seemed confident this week. He seemed more relaxed. I don't know if it's, you know, there's more media members here, obviously, this week, because there's only a few places that you can go to if you're a national NFL reporter. So you're either coming here or one of three other cities. And, you know, he's been more relaxed, which is usually a good sign for him. It usually means he has something figured out and he's feeling good about his team's chances. So if that's, you know, if that pattern holds, then I think he is feeling good. I think the players know what's at stake. I think they were happy to win last week after having the two, you know, first-round losses to Baltimore and the Jets the previous 2 years. So things are – they're feeling – I'm getting a good feeling from them this week. And of course, you know, that could all go out the window if Ray Rice, you know, gets the ball in the first snap like he did in 2009 and takes it to the house. But as of right now, I think they're confident.
And you just mentioned that game a couple of years ago in Foxborough where the Ravens really annihilated New England in over wild card weekend at Foxborough. And I don't know if people are talking about this around there, but I brought it up a few times on this show. The Orioles, of course, knocked out the Red Sox last game of the regular season at Camden Yards this year in what was an epic collapse for Boston. And if the Ravens somehow knock out the Patriots this year, I'm going to start it, Shalise, the curse of the Baltimore sports teams in Boston. Have people referenced any of these connections?
I have seen it brought up once or twice on Twitter. But I think, you know, Patriots fans, they're an interesting lot. Certainly. But it has been brought up once or twice here that what if it was Baltimore that ended two seasons, two sports seasons for the, you know, Boston area teams.
We can only dream around here. We don't have much to brag about baseball-wise these days, so that would be amazing. And I know the Brady injury isn't much to talk about. A bum left shoulder. He practiced in full today. Any other potential key injuries for this Patriots team right now?
I think one to keep an eye out for is Logan Mankins, the left guard. They actually played him in a rotation last week. He sprained his MCL in week 16, the 15th game of the season against Miami. He missed the regular season finale. He did play last week, but like I said, it was on a rotational basis. I think he missed one or two series in the first half, and then once it became clear that the game was in hand, then they sat him for the rest of the game. He played in a lot of pain. He had a visible limp when we saw him last week. So he's day-to-day, and obviously that's somebody who's important, particularly with Nada on the other side of the ball, you know, for keeping Tom Brady upright and giving him the time that he needs to move this offense.
Shalise Mantha-Young, great stuff from the Boston Globe. Shalise, we really appreciate it. Enjoy the game on Sunday.
Thanks, you guys too.
That is Shalise Mantha-Young from the Boston Globe. Great insight there, Q.
Very much so. I like how she broke down the Belichickisms. See, you're a beat writer, you get to see him all the time.
If you're a veteran reporter,